Thank you very much, François, for inviting me to give this presentation. Bonsoir, c'est un grand plaisir pour moi d'être ici pour vous parler un peu de storage. François had an interesting slide where he was showing some work done in the UK about estimating the value of storage, and really my talk is a bit about a similar topic, trying to have a slightly more detailed look of what that means. But before I can go into that, I need to reinforce another point, which is about how a power system is run. Now, we actually call it a power system, the system that delivers electricity to you, rather than an energy system, because it's really based on the idea that the power produced has to be equal at all time to the power consumed, and the power being the rate of at which we deliver energy. So it's delivering to you power, meaning you can flip the switch anytime you want and you will get electricity. It's not just delivering you energy. Now, that works fine, but occasionally you have imbalances, and those imbalances happen on various timescales that go from seconds to days. For example, you can have outages. One of the power plants can suddenly go offline, and suddenly the power that it was producing is gone, and you have an imbalance. We have random fluctuations in the load. Every time I flip on the switch to turn on the lights or turn off the light, I'm changing the demand. That has to be handled. We have ramp rates. We have ramps. If all of us start getting up in the morning, that's going to create an increase in the power demand that needs to be dealt with. We have diurnal cycles, peak demand during the middle of the day, going down at night. We have weekly cycles, less demand during the weekend than during the work week. And then we also have unavailability when some power plants are not working because they don't have fuels, or periods of scarcity. Now, the traditional way to deal with imbalances was that the generation was going to follow the load, meaning that we needed flexible generation that could increase or decrease their output rapidly so that it could follow those imbalances and deal with these imbalances. Or these power plants had to be able to start quickly. And in some cases, we cycle them on and off on a daily basis. We also needed some reserve capacity to deal with unpredictable things like outages or changes in demand that we had not anticipated. And renewables makes things worse, because they introduce more random fluctuations. As François said, the wind tends to change, the sun tends to change. They introduce ramps. If suddenly we have a front going through a region where we have lots of wind power plants, that can increase or suddenly decrease the amount of power produced. We have diurnal cycles, not just in solar production, but also in wind productions. In some part of the world, the wind blows more at night. And then we have periods of scarcity. So let me give you a few examples. We know quite precisely when the sun comes up and when it goes down. You know, astronomers have been working on that for a few millennia, so that is not an issue. But what we have not really been able to figure out quite well is about clouds. So, for example, we can tell that we're going to get solar production around this time in the morning, and it's going to drop at this point. But exactly when we get those big dips in production, when a cloud goes through, is not easy. And then there's the wonderful thing called the California duck curve, which is getting people rather concerned in California. So in this graph, I have time of day along the horizontal axis and the net load along the vertical axis. Now, the net load is the difference between the actual load, what you and I consume, and what gets produced by renewable energy sources that we don't control, particularly in this case, solar. And typically, the net load would go down to a minimum in the early hours of the morning and then go back up as like this during the middle of the day when we're all at work and industry is functioning, dip a little bit late afternoon, and then go back up when people go home at night. California and Southern California, turn on the air conditioning, start cooking meal, watch television, and then go back down at night when people go to bed. Now, in Southern California, they have so much solar being installed that they're getting very concerned that instead of going up during the middle of the day, it would go down during the middle of the day when the sun is shining. And around 6 o'clock in the evening, two things happen. The sun is going down and people are going home. And then you get this enormous ramp, enormous increase in the demand for electricity that is going to have to come from somewhere. Here's another example from the part of the world where I come from. This is the demand in red over a week in the what's called the BPA area. And you can see there are diurnal cycles here, go up two peaks per day and so on. And then here you have at the bottom, you have the wind production, which tends to have one cycle a day, peaking in at night. So that was a week in February of this year, and this is this week. Now, if you look carefully, you can see the green curve with the wind is at the bottom there. It's almost zero. We have a high pressure zone. It's bright and cold in the Pacific Northwest. Doesn't happen to us very often in November, but there's no wind at all. So production is very, very small. So, as I said, renewable things makes things worse. And the other thing that's happening is renewables is replacing traditional generation in many parts of the world. If you had a coal plant and now there's a lot of wind generation, well, the wind generation is becoming cheaper, the coal plant is becoming uneconomical and is being shut down, replaced, disappearing, so you can't count on it for providing the flexibility you need to deal with these imbalances. Which brings me to storage. You know, storage is really the ultimate source of flexibility because it can provide you reserve capacity. You can suddenly increase the output of your storage devices and inject all those megawatts in the grid. You can use it for frequency control, for dealing with all those little changes in the load. Storage is great for that. You can use it for dealing with those big ramps like they're worried about in California. You can do temporal arbitrage. You know, you charge the storage when there's plenty of wind or plenty of sun, and you discharge when the sun goes down and the wind goes down. And you can also do spatial arbitrage, where if you have storage at different locations in the grid, you can use it to improve the transmission capacity of your network, avoid overloading the transmission lines in a grid. But there's the question is it going to be economically sustainable? Because on the one hand, we have all those good things that the storage can do, frequency control, reserve, ramping, arbitrage, and all of that. On the other hand, we have the fact that storage has a very large investment cost. Storage is not 100% efficient. These days, you only get about 80% of the energy back that you put in your batteries. And over time, the batteries tend to degrade. Every time you charge and discharge them, well, next time you try to charge them, you can charge them a bit less. So you have a question of how do I balance life cycle cost against those value streams? Can I demonstrate that the value I'm going to get from these batteries is bigger than their life cycle cost? So how should we proceed? Well, I think we need to spend a fair amount of time and energy in quantifying those value streams. And it's pretty clear that some are going to be easier than others to quantify. Arbitrage, straight arbitrage, is pretty straightforward. You buy low, you sell high. You know, anybody who does a bit of finance knows that. Others, like value for frequency control, for reserve, for helping with transmission networks, are a lot harder to estimate. Then we need to investigate compatibility, because we might be able to use these batteries for doing different things at the same time, doing frequency control at the same time as you do arbitrage and you do reserve. But the question is, can we use the same megawatts or megawatt hours for two or more purposes at the same time, or is that just not possible? And then there's something I like to call chemical compatibility. As I mentioned, batteries degrade when you charge and discharge them. But this degradation depends on the type of application. Is it a deep discharge? Is it a shallow discharge? That affects how long the battery is going to live. And also the different types of batteries have different degradation characteristics. So should we have different batteries for different applications? Or can we combine these different applications in the same batteries? So this is some of the plans that I think we should pursue. And I look forward to the question and answer section. Merci beaucoup.